not to fall off the side. The wild mouse ride. The wild mouse ride. How many barely survived? Traumatized for the rest of their lives. There's a roller coaster rolling over me.
Bonjour, you are currently listening to La Bonne Heure with Valley here on CITR 101.9 FM, located on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Today, we are going to be playing an older interview, but just replaying it here on air because it's a lovely interview with some really lovely music. A few months ago, I got to chat with Sam Tudor all about his musical inspiration and creative process, as well as a show he had coming up in Vancouver at that time. So we can talk a little bit about the show too. I was able to go with a couple of my friends and it was a lovely time. So diving straight into that, we're going to be playing some music by Sam Tudor as well as playing that interview. And we're going to be starting off with a song called Everybody's Keeping Their Word, by Sam Tudor here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Every time I keep a little more secrets, holding tighter to the things that you gave me. It's a burden when you're guarding your reason. Keep them closer than the thing that you made me. Following a door my way, unfold my hands and turn them over.
Everybody's keeping their word. Everybody's keeping their word today. Everybody's keeping their word. Everybody. Everybody's keeping their word today.
Every time I keep a little more secrets, garden your reasons. Keep it closer than the things that you sold me. Follow in the door my way. Unfold.
Sam Tudor, we're going to be chatting a little bit about your music, about the creation of your music, and also to start the interview, I thought I'd come up with some funner questions just to get us started a little bit. The first one is that you recently showcased on your Instagram a really cool semi-bleached shirt. Is that the one you're wearing right now?
Oh, yeah, I am wearing it right okay. now. Yeah, I went through a bleach dyeing phase.
Okay.
A friend showed me how to do it, and I bleach dyed some pants and some other shirts, and I had to stop because I realized that eventually all my clothes were going to look the exact same, but there's something really fun about it. It's like easier than tie dyeing.
Yeah. If you could do any DIY clothing project, what do you think you would, just go crazy. What would you do?
That's a great question. I feel like I'm having like I'm in my fashion renaissance era where I'm like learning about clothes and fashion and being interested in it in a way that I haven't been before. I think I would make a really impressive patchwork trench coat.
Ooh.
Like a trench coat, but like quilt.
That actually sounds really cool. Would you like crochet or knit it, or would you just like? What's the technique?
I don't really have any of those skills, but if I did, I would probably stitch it all together. I think I did. This is inspired by something I saw on the internet, but I think I would like have different patches of fabric from my life, and they would form like a long hip sort of detective trench coat, like Dick Tracy, but a quilt.
That sounds really cool. I hope that comes to fruition for you. I really do hope.
Yeah, that's. I don't really have the skills to pull it off, but in a fantasy world where I did, then I would definitely try and do that.
If I ever make friends with someone who's like in fashion design, I will get it. I'll get back in touch with you, and we can make it happen.
Okay. Yeah. Put the word out.
You also studied film in the past, and I know that you're very mm-hmm. into like just multimedias and multimedia forms. If you could mm-hmm. have some of your music or even a specific song featured in any film or TV show, whether it's something that you know is coming up or something that came out 300 mm-hmm. years ago, well, obviously not, but 30 years ago, what would you choose?
Oh man, that is such a good question. I really like sci-fi and horror, especially a lot of like 80s and early 90s sci-fi and horror films. And I think my dream would be to either be able to do the music for like a horror film or something, or just to just get one of my songs, I guess. I think it would be cool to get one of my songs in like a cool TV show, I don't know, Sex Education, or, you know, like some like cool TV show where you could hear your song and be like, oh my God. But I think my dream would be to do music for like a really like colorful, strange horror film. I think that would be so happy to do that.
That would be really cool.
I also, if I ever meet someone who does horror movies, I will also get back in touch.
Okay, this is great. This is just a networking, this interview is just a networking opportunity for me. I'll just tell you all the things I want from my career and you could just
I'll
get
make
on
it happen. I'll make it
it.
happen.
Are you my manager now?
Surprise! This is a job interview and you're hiring me.
Are you the same as me? Do you have what I have? Rolling off a shooting star into real life. Waving from a moving car. Doesn't matter who you are. Graceful till we hold the ball. Get tired of trying to float among the people that we know. Tired of trying, pretending we know. Are you the same as me? Have what I have. Can we learn to really love when we're passing by? Stuck outside the paradigm, caught the shift but blew the line. Tell myself I'll watch the year for a second.
So collaboration is also something that's really important to you. This is another one of those, big general questions, but if you could collaborate with anyone alive or dead, who would you
Oh my, I wasn't prepared for these questions.
pick?
These are intense questions.
Like all the time.
I don't want to be on the record saying something that I don't Okay, well, I can't really think of. Oh, I just thought of it. I would love to collaborate with the people involved in Studio Ghibli in general, like Miyazaki, obviously, and just I'm like have and just like a lot of animators from that era that I'm really inspired by lately, Satoshi Kon, and I spent this past winter just watching so much anime in my room, not going outside, and I just think the art is so beautiful and different story, like the storytelling style is so beautiful through a, and obviously like I don't know, but I just find that it's a very like beautiful and I just love animation. And I would like to do music for something that looks like that.
And then my last kind of intro question is, you mentioned that growing up, you were in a community that was quite far away from things, and so you would spend a lot of the time on the bus in the dark, looking out of the window, and listening to a lot of music. And I was wondering if there was a particular song or maybe a particular artist that, if you listened to, would kind of transport you straight back to that time.
I definitely grew up on like the indie folk zeitgeist. My dad runs a kids camp in the woods, and he had a summer student named Matei. Shout out Matei. And Matei gave me like an MP3 player loaded up with albums, but none of the albums were properly named or labeled. So it was just like, I think they were probably like LimeWire downloads. So it was like track 7 underscore underscore whatever. And so I had this experience of like really loving all these albums, but not knowing what any of them were, which I think made the experience at the time like even more valuable. I didn't have any context for what I was listening to, and I think I realize now that like we don't have that anymore really, and that was important. Anyway, I think like that first Bon Iver record, like Forever Forever Go, because I didn't know, like I was like, who what is this voice, what is this sounding thing, and like the way it was recorded was kind of inspiring to me, because I was trying to record things in my room, and I was like, ah, everything sounds so bad. And then I was like, oh, actually, that's fine. And I think I've like moved away from that kind of music a lot. Like that world is no longer really a source of inspiration for me, but it was extremely formative, and I definitely like just had all the classics like Fleet Foxes and such bands on my weird little MP3 player. Also an album that this is a quite different, but the album that I think was most formative to me was this album called Why by Alopecia, or sorry, the album is called Alopecia by the band Why with a question mark. They're still active and I like all their albums, but I like this one significantly the most. It's kind of like they're like a rap, songwriting, pop, prog, experimental band from Philadelphia. And the front man, Yoni Wolf, he's really a comp like he's a really interesting writer, like extremely vulnerable and angsty. And I think like his writing just at that time like really resonated with my like angsty grade 9 self. And that album I still like return to all the time. And there's so many production choices on that album that are like really inspired me today, like weird percussion choices and things that like transcend the idea of like a band, and yeah, it's like seeped into my soul, that album. So Why by Alopecia. Oh my God. The album is called Alopecia by the band Why with a question mark. Yeah.
Hide away.
Just tuning in, my name is Vali and you are currently listening to La Bonne Heure here on CITR 101.9 FM. Currently chatting and playing an interview that I had done with Sam Tudor a couple of months ago, chatting about his music and about his concert that he played back then at the Fox Cabaret. You'll hear a little bit more about that. What will sound like spoilers listening to the interview, but are now in hindsight, just insight into what was a beautiful show. Up next, we have a song called Joseph in the Bathroom by Sam Tudor. This is a very sad one, so keep your tissues nearby, and then we'll jump right back into the interview.
Joseph's in the bathroom and the world goes by outside. There is writing on the mirror from the students who have tried to make some words from all the noise that moves around inside their head. He is looking at the mirror, reading all the things they said. And they say it's just a game, and still they push him off the board. He's been bundled in the back where all the other games are stored. And every time his hand goes up in class, it's not to get it right. His hands are waving, GPS is pointing up and out of sight. No reflection. She was drinking somewhere else. All of her shelves are full of bottles that she thinks are for her health. And she thought about the talent show. The deadline came and went. Her parents tell themselves it's for the best. Her voice is strange and bent. There is a humming in her locker. Something from the radio. It's just a boring song that no one likes, and autumn hums it slow. No reflection.
Where we've gone.
No reflection.
Wonderful. Yeah. I had a similar experience growing up because I grew up on an island, and so all the music that we would get were things that people would kind of travel to like the continent to get and then bring back. I would just have to listen to whatever people gave me. So I'd be like listening to like David Guetta in one song, and the next song would be like Breaking Benjamin, and then it would be kind of like classical piece. And so I agree that the importance of just having that mix and being exposed to so many different types of music and so many genres is so wonderful. And that mixture of genres is something that's apparent in your own music, whether that's, a mix of like jazz and pop and folk and ambient music and all of those different things together. Why do you think, well, do you think that it's because of that exposure at a young age to unknown or to mixed music that you've kind of become that as a musician, or are there other inspirations and reasons behind that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't really, I still feel like I don't really know what type of genre of music I want to make. And I feel like I'm still with every like recording, kind of like getting closer and figuring that out because like often the genre that I've worked in is really just dependent on what's around me. Like when I was growing up in interior BC, like I had access to like two acoustic guitars and a microphone. And so I think it was just like really natural for me that I was like, well, I guess I'm a acoustic guitar singer songwriter, you know? But as I've learned to like work in other with other things, and I've like gotten a lot better at synthesis and like making music on the computer and stuff, like now I'm like integrating that because I know how to do it. So like I've never been like, okay, this is the genre. Yeah, so I think like to the what you were saying about the jazz thing and stuff, I like lived in Toronto for a while and lived in a house full of jazz musicians, and that's pretty much why, you know. And because I got them all to play on it. So yeah, I do feel like I'm still like getting closer to figuring out like, okay, this is actually a conscious choice, like what I want this to sound like. But I do know that I don't, I do like the idea that like I really enjoy recording. Like I really just enjoy experimenting with recording. And so I feel like that excitement about like trying different things and using different samples and playing different instruments in weird ways like kind of informs the lack of genre, if that makes sense. I don't know. I hope that's an okay answer.
No, I love that, and I think that's
Okay.
it's really apparent in your music as well. Like in Two Half Worlds, you really do have so many moments throughout the album where things are really mixed and things do kind of come together, and then you also have moments where there is more of a obvious, I don't want to say genre, but like choice in sound and in melody. And I think that's really cool, because it's always great when you hear music and you can tell that this is like the same three chords that were repeated over and over again.
Yeah.
It's like there was no thought behind it, and there was no,
Yeah.
and I think that's very nice.
Yeah, I think the goal is just to like somehow articulate a feeling, like whatever it takes, you know? And I think sometimes the part one reason for doing music is to try and express something that's like really can be difficult to articulate. So if it's difficult to articulate, then like it makes sense that you would have to like experiment with a whole bunch of different things to try and like achieve that feeling, you know? Like, what does this feeling sound like? You know, and you just like do a bunch of things into so like I like to think it's like cohesive in the sense of like articulating a feeling, but I don't care if it's like cohesive in like a any genre sense or anything.
No, I agree, and I think, like, I know that you've spoken in the past about having feelings that are mixed and matched as well. Like I know that you've spoken about when while you were at university and kind of living in this really picturesque and like beautiful neighborhood, but you did also have kind of those feelings of like sadness and confusion. And I think you can tell that in your music as well, because some of your music will be quite happier in sound, but you can feel that a lot of the emotion behind it is on that sadder or melancholic kind of tune. And so it is a really cool mix. And another thing that you mix in your music as well is how you create your music. So it's, you know, half is quite isolated and personal and solo, and then the other half is when you bring in lots of friends and collaborators. And I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about that, if you could maybe map out that process and just where the solo work begins and where it ends and where it kind of transforms into bringing more people onto the project as well.
Yeah, that's also, you have great questions. It's kind of like even confusing to me because I've just always really wanted to be in a band, but I started doing it by myself and it's always been called Sam Tudor, but it really does feel like, and I hope they would agree, like a little family that we have that works on music, and they all have their own projects, but we care about each other a lot and play together a lot. And their input is really like, it doesn't really feel like I just write a song and then I'm like, okay, now here's $400 and play some guitar or something. They're like really emotionally supporting me through the process. And lately, especially like my good friend Jasper has been adding contributions to the recordings as well. And I love to play with other people and I love to get to hear what other people do. But I feel like the really social element and the really collective element of all of us making music together is kind of like a intentional and direct antidote to how a lot of the music, the writing comes from a place of isolation. Like there's times in my life where I feel quite lonely and the songs often come from that place of loneliness in some like large sense. But then the second half of the recording process is often getting everyone together who I really care about and who like my bandmates are kind of like a little family, and I care about them a lot. And they all have their own really interesting projects and things that inspire me. So yeah, the first half, the second half is kind of like an antidote where these songs about isolation are like kind of filled in by a group of really close friends. And so I guess the whole process is like this call and response in a way. I'm just realizing that and like right now, but like, I don't know. Sorry, that was a chaotic answer. That was a very chaotic answer.
I love that. That's really nice.
Shivering plastic bags moving. Stuck on the handlebars of my new life. Everyone's got a different way to say it. But it's a lonely time to be alive. Even when I was strong and stable, I keep a line that'll hold you behind. I wasn't there to meet you at the table, and you would call me up. Say it in the sun. Grow all perennial
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit more about something I mentioned earlier, which was that multimedia aspect in your work. And so you've obviously studied film, you are a musician, you're, you know, constantly like making and playing music. But when you released Two Half Worlds, you also had that kind of digital aspects to it. And so you had that little like online art gallery with lots of photos and lots of memories. And so I wanted to ask you a little bit about that and to ask you about the thought process behind having so many different media forms mixed together. Because it's not like like a music video, you know, which is quite, I would say, more common now, but it was kind of like a more of a unique multimedia platform, let's say. So what was the inspiration and hope behind that?
Well, I became a gamer in COVID. That was part of it.
Okay.
I've always wanted to do music for video games. So in COVID, when I was just able to afford to, I was had CERB and I was less stressed about money. So I had time to join a bunch of subreddits and with independent video game makers and like offer like, hey, does anyone need music for their video games? And I was trying to kind of build a portfolio. And then that led to like this chain of events where now I'm like very active on Discord and play a lot of games. But so I think that's like was kind of what made me start thinking of doing that. But I also think it was kind of like a COVID response to feeling like there was like nothing physical or tactile about an album release during COVID, because we obviously didn't plan to put the album out in COVID, but I didn't really want to wait. And performing live is really important to us and like the sharing the physical space. And so I think I was kind of thinking like, how can there be like some element of dimensionality to this release? Like even if it's just, and the video game space that we made is like, people can walk around, you know, in an online sense. And like it has dimensionality, like there's rooms and there's hallways and stuff. So I think I wasn't so academic about it at the time, but I think it's coming from this place of being like, I just want people to like be able to engage with this album release in a way that isn't just sitting and listening to it or something. And I had this image of like people like in their homes and like turn the lights down low and then just like walk around and discover the songs. And I think some people did end up doing that. So, and I also like the idea that they could like just hear the whole album at their own pace. And like, it was kind of hard to navigate. I found it hard to navigate. So like, but I kind of feel like that was a good thing, because if they want to hear the whole album in advance, they had to like play this thing. And yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I just thought it was cool and fun. And I wanted to make a video game. And my friend Nielsen really helped me. He did all the design and all the work on that. And he's another very talented person. So yeah, I was grateful for that.
Cool. Talking a little bit more about that video game and multimedia aspect. So with Two Half Worlds, you did that project. I was wondering if you could have like your dream multimedia project with any future music or even any future video game ideas, what that would be and what that would comprise of.
Oh man, that's such a great question. Like I've been thinking about that, because since COVID actually I like did get some work doing video game composing and like doing some music for different multimedia things. Like I do some composing and stuff, and I've definitely been thinking like what would be a cool way to like incorporate the things I've learned in this into some kind of unique album release. Like I do think that the model for album releasing is just like pretty standardized, and it always involves, it seems like, at least in like a pop world, it's like you put out two music, you like you tease a single, you put out two music videos and blah, 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 blah. And I do think it would be really cool to explore like alternative ways to do an album release and like integrate. Like I was definitely thinking of expanding on that video game thing that we did. I thought about maybe like doing something where that was more community based, like maybe like making, like getting a bunch of different artists to make like sort of secret songs that are like only available if you like find them within this video game. Like it could be like a Vancouver music community thing where like a bunch of Vancouver musicians contribute to contribute like an exclusive single, and then like people can like play this game to try and find these singles or something and download them, or I don't know. It's there's a bunch of things. It's kind of funny because like I feel like there's also an evil side to this world, like with like Facebook owned Meta and stuff. Like the idea of like metaverse is like co-opted in this corporate way, and is like that's not really a world I want to engage in. But I do like there's some aspects of it that are really exciting to me, and I would love to like incorporate. But yeah, that's not really an answer to your question. The answer is I don't really know yet, but I would love to like try to do something else. Yeah,
that was a great answer. That all sounded really fun. I don't know if I want to be, like half of me is like I want to be a part of that, and half of me is like I want to play that. Like,
like yeah, I don't know, some sort of thing that like where you don't just. I kind of feel like everyone's getting tired of being like, here's my song. And I'm posting about it on Instagram. I am at least getting tired of that. Like I don't mind. Obviously, it's good to tell people and stuff, but it would be fun to like. That's another thing is like all these social media websites have so much power over like the way that we disseminate music. Like we have to go through these. Well, we don't have to, but it feels often they make it feel like we have to. So it'd be cool to like do something like. Yeah, like I think what maybe I was trying to imagine before is like kind of like a version of LimeWire hidden in a video game where you could like get these, but it's consensual. Everyone's agreed to have their music on it. I don't know. But it's a lot. I also don't have the technical skills, so I would need to convince people to help me.
But I get what you mean. Like you don't have to go through social media, but it feels like also like if you don't, how would you find new music? You know, like we don't really listen to radio. I mean, I maybe shouldn't say that because this is a radio show, but there's a lot less.
You're like, I never listen to radio.
What's radio? I don't know. But you know what I mean? Like, I feel like back in the past, like it was a much more collaborative thing, was discovering music and listening to music together and finding an artist and following that artist, whereas now it's like, oh, you'll hear like a clip of a song here and half a song there, and then get like the little bio of an artist there, and then you just kind of have to pull everything together, and it is always through social media, whether you want to or not. So I do agree. I think a cool consensual LimeWire
video. Yeah, and we do like give these like. We provide the content to all these companies, but like, I don't know. It can feel difficult. I guess there's other ways, like you know, Bandcamp and stuff like that. But I also feel like that kind of like what we were talking about before with listening to music without context. And context is actually like really like I love learning about bands, and I love learning about what influenced them and where their music comes from and stuff. But there was something kind of powerful, like there is something strange about how halfway through listening to a new song, like you can immediately know everything about the artist and how they look and everything they've ever released. And to an extent, like that much immediate unfiltered context, like that you don't, I guess I'm just saying I like miss some mystery sometimes. I think when I was a kid, I like mystery was the thing that like made like really excited, like what the heck is going on here, you know? So
especially looks, like I feel like nowadays like people base so much of what an artist is and who a musician is. Like if it is difficult, like when I'm thinking of like music promotion, it can just get so tedious and so tiring. You think like, oh, I have to like write another post about how excited I am for you to like listen.
We're all just making posts about how excited we are.
And like obviously like I am excited for you to hear this, but like
and I think that like the nature of online music promotion is that you like are sort of expected to I think the logic is that the more details you provide about your life and who you are and what you're doing, it somehow is like improves your relationship with listeners. Like that's what's implied, is like the more you can tell everyone about everything at all times, the better your relationship with your fans is going to be. And I don't know, like, not that I really have enough fans for this to matter, but I don't know if that's necessarily true. Like, I think I just think it's kind of cool when people are like have to sift through things and figure out what's going on. And that's like, for me as a fan of music, that's like always something that makes me like excited when I feel like there's something I don't know, you know.
Yeah. I was wondering if, in your music, if you had a favorite collaborative moment. So if you listen back to your songs, if there's a moment where everything and everyone came together and you're just like, that is a beautiful encapsulation of collaborative
Honestly, like, I think this is kind of like a boring and obvious answer, but I think it's just performing live with a bunch of people. Like, it's really fun to have a big band. I love having I don't know. I've never really been like technically that great of a musician. Like I produce and do stuff, but like I'm not like extremely skilled at one specific instrument. And I'm really like excited about people who are and inspired by them. And yeah, just playing live with my like good friends because the songs have like most of the songs have like an obvious structure, but then within that, like everyone kind of does whatever they want. We've played a show in Toronto where it was like Jasper on bass and then my friend Anne Fung playing flute, and she's like an amazing flute player, and my friend Ben playing saxophone, and one of my best friends Yunjin plays synth, and I just feel like they all have such different interests. Like Yunjin, my bandmate's a DJ and is plays a lot of like electronic music, and my saxophone player Ben is like a really good jazz musician and really well versed in that. And Anne, who's a flute player, like her favorite musicians, like Van Halen. Or, no, she's gonna hate me for saying that. I don't think it was Van Halen, but like, oh, Steve Vai. Like she loves like she's such a shredder. And anyway, I just love when all these people with like different things, different backgrounds play music together, and there's like a lot of improvisation within. Like there are pop songs with an easy structure, but there's a lot of improvisation within that, and it's really like exciting for me and fun. And yeah, I can't think of a specific one, but like I really love doing that. I'm also like not very good at being present, and I feel like playing music live with a whole bunch of other people is like one of the few times where I'm like actually present, and like witnessing what people are doing and responding to that and trying to keep playing well, and so yeah, I love that.
What about a lyrical moment? Do you have any lyrical moments that really stand out to you?
Like lyrics that I've written?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I feel like this new I have a new EP that I'm like trying to finish, and I don't know when it's going to be done yet. I'm in like the last 10% of work finishing it, but I feel like the last 10% always takes the longest. But I definitely think like the lyrics on that are like the best. The most honest and the most accurate in a way. So yeah, I can't think of any. It's weird. There's some lyrics that like I listen back to myself and cringe. I definitely do that a lot. Like I listen back to myself and cringe, but then there's some songs which are like cringeworthy but still mean something to play. Like I feel like the song Changed My Shape that we have, like the chorus, when I it's kind of like the simplest song on the record, and I was just like, ah, oh, it's such a like, why can't I change my shape? Like, oh, it's kind of basic, but I still like love to sing it and play it. So sorry, I keep giving you these non-end. I don't want to quote my I'm not gonna I don't want to quote myself a lyric of myself that I love. I just can't do it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. We can let that one go. But you mentioned a little EP that you're working on. Can you give us any spoilers about maybe like themes or literally anything?
I'm really proud of it. Or I think I will be when it's done. It's pretty different. It's pretty different. I feel like that thing we were talking about before where I kind of just like try a whole bunch of different things, and eventually like to think that eventually I'll be like get to this place where I'm like, oh, that is the thing I was trying to do. I've never really felt that fully, that I actually achieved that feeling, and I probably never will. But this EP, it feels a lot more like oh yeah, that is what I wanted to do. I feel like I like take a lot more risks with the songwriting and the song structure, and it's kind of a bummer because it was written during when I was living in Toronto and sad and the darkest. I read that it was the darkest winter in Toronto history,
Horrible.
like just literally in terms of amount of light. Yeah, and it has a lot of friends playing on it, and I always have like held like the whole process really close to the chest. Like I do all my own mixing and all my own producing and stuff, and I probably always will do that, but I feel like this time was the first time I like have started outsourcing some of that stuff, like outsourcing elements of the mixing and being more comfortable like having other musicians and stuff. But it also feels kind of like, it's definitely the most personal thing I've made.
Yeah, okay, very nice. And do you have a timeline or a remote, like summer or 2024 or?
I think I want to have it like done, done and listenable by the end of June. And then when it's like truly done, then I will kind of think about like, yeah, when I'm going to put it out and stuff. So hopefully not too far away, like hopefully less than a year, but I don't really want to.
Yeah, no.
Because I know I'll curse myself if I.
Yeah, I'm actually putting it out tomorrow. And then
Yeah, maybe that's what I should do, just like to create a accountability for myself.
Well, I think that would stress you out.
So yeah, it would stress me out. Yeah.
So but if it works, go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So you have a show coming up in Vancouver. It is on June 13th. Where is it? And who's playing? And what can people expect at a Sam Tudor show?
Oh, I'm really excited about the Vancouver show. I'm playing with a bunch of my closest friends who, my friend Anne is playing flute. My friend Yunjin is playing synth. My friend Graham is playing drums. My friend Jasper of CITR alum is playing bass, sharing the bill with Walgren, Tegan Walgren, who is one of my oldest friends and one of the first people I really ever played music with in Vancouver. So it does feel like pretty kind of full circle to be performing at the Fox with both of our projects. I really like playing in Vancouver, and this is kind of, I think in many ways it's our, we still look at it as our home, even though a lot of us live in different places. And I'm really excited about how I feel these days about performing and performing the new music. I feel kind of different and like I have a new energy about performing, I think, that I'm excited to show and live in, you know? So, yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. That's very, very exciting. Looking forward to it. Well, that was all the questions that I had for you. Thank you so much for coming.
Awesome.
Lovely, lovely to have you.
Thank you.
It was lovely getting to chat with Sam Tudor all about his music and about the show that he played in Vancouver back in June. We have one last song. It is called Change My Shape. We just chatted a little bit about it. And then until we wait for that EP he's promised us, you can just go back and re-listen to this interview, re-listen to his songs. And with that, I will wish you a wonderful day, say goodbye, and play this last song, Change My Shape by Sam Tudor.
You're a bona fide reason to mark my face, paint my fingers. It's a permanent season, a sublet room where time gets frozen. Why can't I change my shape to roll your weight off my shoulders? Why can't I change my shape for you? I always change my shape. That's my skill. That's my power. Why can't I change my shape for you? Give yourself the conviction, a DIY legal story. It's a permanent fiction. Your truth is just a category. that's my skill, that's my power. Why can't I change my shape for you? It's a slow decline we're drawn into. It's a word defined until the meaning falls right through. It's a curve to mark the way we grew. You see the end of how we used to be, and I can see it too. Why can't I change my shape to roll your weight off my shoulders? Why can't I change my shape for you? That's my skill, that's my power. Why can't I change my shape for you? Why can't I change my shape for you?